And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we are glad and we rejoice in it. And you know what? You and I are blessed and highly favored because we know the Lord. And isn't that wonderful that in spite of all that goes on around us, all that's happening, all the craziness that we see, we don't need to be worried. We don't need to be fretful. We can walk through this life with a sense of aplomb and calm and satisfaction because we know what the ultimate outcome is. That doesn't mean that we don't energetically pursue what we really believe God has called us to do. We do. But we have this assurance down on the inside, don't we? Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that's the attitude with which we can walk through even the most horrific circumstances. This is your host here on The Awakening on American Family Radio. And I hope that you all will tell a friend, tell a neighbor to tune into AmericanFamilyRadio.net. And thank you all, by the way, when you call up and tell me, listen, I love the network. I listen all the time. I enjoy all the hosts. That really does me good. And I'm sure it does everybody on this network good. We really do appreciate it. Pray for us. Don't take this for granted. I'm sure you all know that there are forces out there who would love to silence us. In fact, they would love to dismiss this entire network as a quote-unquote hate network. You know why? Simply because we agree with God and with the Word of God, and we don't agree with those who oppose the Bible and oppose Christianity and oppose the Word of God and oppose the Judeo-Christian values of our nation. We don't agree with them, and we are going to fight the good fight of faith. We're not trying to hurt anybody, kill anybody, harm anybody, but we are going to stand up for the things that we believe are right. I always make this distinction, folks, because the Bible makes this distinction. We don't hate people, but we do hate every false way. You will find that very thing in Psalm 119, verses 104 and 128. Because all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. That's in Psalm, I think that's in verse 128. And verse 104, through your precepts, I gain wisdom. I hate every false way. We don't hate people. We hate false ideas. And folks, those false ideas are running rampant right now, aren't they? I mean, they really are running rampant. I want to tell you all, by the way, that you can also interact with me on Facebook, E.W. Jackson SR, on Instagram, E.W. Jackson _ SR, and unfortunately not on Twitter, because even though you can follow me on Twitter, I have been banned from Twitter. Little old me banned. I mean, little old me banned. In fact, I was banned as a result of something I'm going to talk to you about this very day. Now, I'm not going to take any calls at this moment. Let me get the program up and running and get a couple of issues on the table. But just to let you know, make a note of it in case you don't already have it memorized. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Tomorrow, of course, is 911. By the way, tomorrow also happens to be my wedding anniversary. You may send your gifts too. I'm only kidding, folks. Please don't send anything. You know, other than well wishes. Well wishes are fine. I don't want any gifts. God bless you, though. But of course, we were married long before 911 happened, and 911 is the sad tragedy that took place on one of my anniversaries. It was 12 years ago now. 12 years ago. Man, my goodness gracious, what am I talking about 12 years ago? I read that somewhere. Was that 12 years ago? Was that 18 years ago, right? Yeah, 18 years ago. And tomorrow, of course, there's going to be a lot that there should be. There was once more. There's less now, but there should be commemorations and things taking place around the country to remember the 3,000 Americans whose lives were taken. They were brutally murdered by some vicious, hate-filled Islamists. These radical Islamic jihadists who were trying to bring our country down, folks. They weren't just trying to kill some Americans. They were trying to kill America. Let's not forget that. That's an important thing to remember. They weren't simply trying to kill Americans. They were trying to kill America. So they targeted the White House, they targeted the Pentagon, and they targeted the World Trade Center. They wanted a complete economic and political collapse of our nation. That's what they were going after. Folks, they were trying to cut the throat of the American economy and the American way of life. It was vicious. It was nasty. It was wicked. It was evil in the supreme. And we will commemorate that tomorrow. Well, what I wanted to bring up with you is, and there are a number of issues to talk about, but I think this one, since tomorrow is 9-1-1, is something I want to get on the table now. You know, the Senate is having hearings on this issue of 9-1-1. And, you know, you would think, well, that's a good thing, because obviously we're taking steps to do what we need to do to prevent this ever happening again. So the Senate Homeland Security Committee held a hearing, let's see. They at the National Memorial and Museum in the National 9-1-1 Memorial and Museum in New York City. And but here's the interesting thing about it, and I am going to want you all to weigh in on this. They talked about pretty much everything but radical Islamic jihadists. That was never mentioned. Yeah, it was a hearing on the 9-1-1 attack, and that was never mentioned. So wait a minute. That can't possibly be right. How can you hold a hearing on the 9-1-1 attacks and not talk about radical Islamic jihadism? Because that's who attacked us, folks. In order to answer that question, I'd probably have to be a psychiatrist, because how some of these people can so deny reality. Did I talk to you all about a moral? No, you know what? Actually, I didn't. But, you know, I have this concept. I call it moral psychosis. You know, mental psychosis is when a person A, has auditory and visual hallucinations. They see things and hear things that aren't real, that aren't there. And they experience schizophrenia. They have people talking to them who are not real, that they think there's another person or other persons inside of them speaking in their behalf. Well, when we come back, I'll talk to you about moral psychosis, because I think that's what can lead to a hearing on 9-1-1 where Islamic jihadism is not even mentioned. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The Electoral College has become a controversial issue in the last two decades, but a recent federal court ruling could make it even more controversial. Judges in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that presidential electors do not have to follow the results of the popular vote in their states. Some worry that a single elector could decide the outcome of a presidential election in a close election. The decision was a victory for one Colorado elector who decided not to vote for Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election. Instead, he crossed out her name and wrote in John Kasich, then the Republican governor of Ohio. The Colorado Secretary of State removed him and brought in another elector who voted for Clinton. The court ruled that once electors are chosen and report to their state capital in December, they cannot be removed, nor can the state nullify their votes. In the past, the court has ruled that a state may bind the electors, but those laws are weak and the penalties for being a faithless elector are nominal. It is worth mentioning that the ruling from Colorado conflicts with an earlier ruling from the state of Washington. The state Supreme Court there ruled that electors must follow the results of the popular vote. Now that there are conflicting rulings, it is likely that these cases will make their way to the Supreme Court. Given the current makeup of the Supreme Court, it's difficult to predict how the justices will rule or whether they'll even rule at all before the 2020 election. Nevertheless, I predict that the High Court will uphold the Colorado ruling given the fact that in the past there have been faithless electors in America's history. And I also predict that some justices will comment on the constitutionality of the Electoral College given the fact that we've had two elections in less than two decades decided by the electoral vote rather than the popular vote. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For more information about issues covered on Viewpoints, visit pointofview.net. Pointofview.net.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The Democrat National Committee held their summer meeting and passed a startling resolution. It praised the values of the religiously unaffiliated. Yes, people who have no religious beliefs. The resolution read in part, "Religiously unaffiliated Americans overwhelmingly share the Democratic Party's values." The move was championed by the Secular Coalition of America, an atheist lobbying organization that says it would ensure that policy is driven by science, not religious beliefs. It's reported that many Democrats believe scientific evidence backs up the Bible, and the Bible's a perfect guide for sinful mankind. So the net effect of this resolution remains to be seen. I'm not endorsing or opposing any political party, just reporting the news.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Brian Fisher here. We'll talk about what Drew Brees could have said. Even regressives are wringing their hands over the radicalism of Democrat candidates. Pete Buttigieg fails again as a theologian on the Bible and abortion. And a conservative wraps the talking snake media around the axle. All that and more next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, tomorrow is 9-1-1, and the Senate held a hearing on the subject. Okay, that was the subject of the hearing. Breitbart's reported on this, that the Senate Homeland Security Committee held a hearing at the National 9-11 Memorial and Museum in New York City. There's only one problem. They didn't talk about radical Islamic jihadism. Now, remember, folks, we were attacked in Lebanon. We were attacked at the USS Cole. We were attacked in Chattanooga. We were attacked at Fort Hood. We were attacked in Orlando. We were attacked in San Bernardino. And there have been countless attempted attacks that were thwarted by authorities, discovered and then thwarted by authorities before those attacks could be carried out. But they didn't talk about any of that. You know what they talked about? Oh, I'm sure you can guess. The number one national security threat to America is climate change. Senator Gary Peters of Michigan said climate change poses an existential threat. He says not only to the United States, but our entire planet. And the Department of Homeland Security is our first defense against these and other challenges. So it's climate change that they talked about. Yes, at the 9-1-1 hearing, at the 9-11 hearing, they talked about climate change. Now, folks, this stuff is insane. It really is. It's just insane. The uptick in extreme weather events on land and offshore clearly impact the missions of FEMA and the U.S. Coast Guard, from rescue and reconnaissance to disaster preparation, response, and recovery. Our changing climate requires DHS to approach those missions differently, blah, 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 blah. Oh, and Janet Napolitano said this. The U.S. border with Mexico is not a threat to the homeland. What we do not need and what does not make sense is a wall from one end to the other, from one end of the border to the other, because the border situation is not a threat. Climate change is the real problem. You know, I ended the last segment talking about moral psychosis. Well, mental psychosis, when you see things that aren't there and you hear things that aren't there. Moral psychosis is when you see things that aren't true and hear things that aren't true, but you believe them to be true. It's moral hallucinating. And folks, that is what the Democrat Party has become. Now, I don't know where the Republicans were in this, because they obviously need to be speaking up about what the real potential threat is. I mean, right now you've got the President of the United States catching some flack because he was threatening to, willing, I guess, to meet with and negotiate with the Taliban. And look, I can't say that I am familiar with every intimate detail of our Afghanistan situation. What I can tell you is that it has been going on for a very long time. And I would welcome any kind of innovative leadership that would attempt to put us in a position where we don't have to send our men there to lose their lives fighting an enemy on their homeland that is never going to give it up. I mean, we can't kill them all. So what are we going to do? Are we going to just stay there forever? On the other hand, obviously there is this issue of that if you don't fight them there, you'll fight them here. And I understand that perfectly. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I was an early supporter, although I've had second thoughts since then, but I was an early supporter of going into Iraq, because that's my attitude. If we don't fight them there, then we will ultimately fight them here. But I just don't want to see us there another 10 years, another 20 years. I mean, if I were President of the United States, I'd tell you, folks, I don't know exactly what I would do, but I'll tell you, I would be thinking about it very hard, and I'd probably be doing some innovative things that hadn't been thought of, trying to figure out how do we extricate ourselves from this mess, and how do we protect ourselves from the potential of another attack. But that's not what the U.S. Senate is talking about. No. No, they're talking about climate change. Climate change. And, you know, just think about that. I had somebody come by my church on Sunday, and he says, I just want to thank you for having some common sense. I said, well, you know, listen, I'm not so sure that is anything that we need to be commended for, but I suppose in this world we live in, it is unusual enough that people think, you know, that's pretty good. There was a time when I think most of us thought that was kind of normal to have some common sense. But he stopped by to thank me for having a little common sense. And, you know, folks, in my view, common sense says that you know you cannot clean up the planet when you have countries the size of China and India that could care less, because they are trying to build and stoke economies to support, well, between the two countries, over 2 billion people. And when the left runs around with their hair on fire, talking about we got to get rid of the factories and we got to stop using fossil fuels, people in India and China, the leaders in India and China, look at them like they're crazy, because from their perspective, they are. And so we just got to the point where we can, and I'm not so sure either one is doing a very good job as yet, but they've got within striking distance, perhaps, of being able to feed their people. Because these very large populations, you all know the stories, I mean, both China and India, I mean, have been racked with the most extreme kind of poverty. And you've seen the images of children digging through trash piles, looking for any bits of food, any garbage that's been thrown out that they can find. And they're trying to get their economies up and running and productive to raise the standard of living of their people. And we're supposed to solve climate change, which doesn't exist, by the way. I mean, yeah, there's climate change. It's called weather. Okay? I mean, please. But we're supposed to fix all this when you got two countries with the equivalent of, with over 2 billion people combined that are, they just find the whole thing ridiculous. And here we have a Senate hearing, and we want to talk about climate change, not we have a hearing on 9/11, and we don't want to talk about how 9/11 happened or why 9/11 happened. Oh, and by the way, because, you know, from the perspective of these Democrats, as I affectionately refer to them, these Democrats, climate change is behind radical jihadism, because it's the result of the shortages and the food problems and the weather and the this and the that. And this just produces such frustration, and it produces such consternation among people that they lash out. And that's why there's radical jihadism. You know, you got to have BBs for brains to believe that. I mean, you really do. You really do. Because you know that the people who attacked us on 9/11 were all educated, well-to-do people. To my knowledge, there wasn't an impoverished one among the bunch. They all came from well-educated and well-financed homes. But you see, the left doesn't want to acknowledge what you and I know, and this is the common sense part. There are evil people in this world, and you must stop them. And they don't care what the climate is, and they don't care about anything except the evil that they have in their hearts to do. And they must be stopped. They must either be caught and incarcerated, or they must be killed, put down. I'm not talking about any kind of mass unlawful executions, folks. I'm talking about dealing with people on the ground where they're trying to attack others, and they have to be killed in order to be stopped. I'd prefer that they be caught and properly adjudicated and incarcerated, but that's not always possible. And where that's not possible, you have to kill them. But yeah, I suppose you could call that common sense. It used to be fairly common. It's now become somewhat uncommon, hasn't it? Well, it will also not surprise you to hear what the other major threat is. So they didn't talk about, because you can't, you know, you're racist if you talk about radical jihadist. You're racist. But guess what the other issue was that they raised? When we come back, we'll talk about it. The number is 888-589-8840. I'm your host, E.W. Jackson, here on The Awakening on American Family Radio. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Years ago, I wrote a letter to my father. He was alive then. And I shared some thoughts with him. I'd like to share that with you today. Dear Daddy, once every year they have a special day for fellows like you. They call it Father's Day. And on that day, we children are supposed to honor you. Somehow that just doesn't seem right. Oh, not that you shouldn't be honored, you deserve that, but that we should have a special day to do it. Somehow I have an idea that every day is, for fathers like you, a Father's Day. For every day, folks like myself go through life, make decisions, pass judgments, and in general, live out our lives on principles that our fathers taught us. Often I think about what would have happened to me if I'd ever started looking at the bottle to solve some of my problems. I know many people who have. They used to say that one person in every 16 who drinks becomes an alcoholic. The figure is probably a little higher now. But I don't have to worry about becoming an alcoholic for the simple reason you taught me not to drink. I remember very clearly when I was but a youngster asking you about drinking. You told me that you never did. That solved the thing for me then and there. If you didn't drink, then I knew I shouldn't either. I sincerely try to treat people fair and honest, to treat them as I would like to be treated. In other words, I try to apply the golden rule to my life. Where did I learn this? Not so much from my Sunday school teacher or preacher as from you. Oh, I know, you never set me down and made me memorize it. But I learned it as I saw you practice it in your daily life. And memorizing it wouldn't have helped much unless I saw you practicing it. You never gave us children much money for the simple reason you didn't have much to give. You would have given us your last penny if we had needed it. I know that. But you gave us something worth many times over the value of money. You gave us a good name. I've always been proud to carry a part of your name. I do so with head held high. Seems that I remember somewhere in the good book it says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. I believe that. As I grow older in years, I grow continually more thankful for your influence on me. I cannot knowingly cheat a man or tell a lie or do any other thing which is morally wrong for the simple reason that as a growing kid, you taught me an honest, better way of living. Most folks measure success today by how high you rise or how much money you make or how powerful you are. Those criteria are false. And those persons who measure success by them are fools. The successful people are people like you. They are people who give their children real riches, spiritual riches. I have many ambitions in this life, Daddy. You know that. But ranking high on the list is this one: to be as good a father to my children as you were to yours. If I can do it, I too can be successful. Thanks for giving me a good start.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're here, and we're very clear about where we stand. The number here is 888-589-8840. Let me get one other thought in, and then I'm going to come to the lines and take your calls. So they're having a hearing, right? They had a hearing on 9/11, but they didn't talk about that. They talked about climate change. Well, you know what the other thing they talk about, because this is the major existential threat to the country: white supremacy. Now, folks, and I don't minimize attacks on people for any reason, whatever that reason might be. But the notion that white supremacy is a major threat to this country is one of the most preposterous ideas I have ever heard in the history of the ridiculous punditry I've heard coming out of the left. And you could put those two together: climate change and white supremacy. You know, if you compare the number of attacks that there are in our country, mass murder attacks, by people who claim to be doing so out of some racial animus to the number of people who are murdered in this country in the inner cities of our nation as a result of domestic violence. You want to throw in fentanyl and other overdoses of drugs. Folks, it is so infinitesimal. Now, that doesn't mean it's less of a tragedy that it happens to the people it happens to. But as a statistical matter, it is so infinitesimal that, once again, you've got to have some kind of moral psychosis to see that as a major threat to our country. It's ridiculous. So climate change and white supremacy is what they talk about at a 911 hearing, because those are the things that are a threat to the country. Not the border. Oh, no, the border is not a problem. Not the drug overdose epidemic with fentanyl and all this stuff coming across the border. No, oh, no, no, that's not a problem either. Not all the thousands who die in the inner cities of our country as a result of violence of all kinds, gang violence, drug violence. Oh, no, no, that's not a problem either. Oh, no, 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 that's not an issue. Who's concerned about that? And certainly radical Islam, that is an ongoing threat to peace and security to any free nation around the world, but particularly to the United States of America, and I guess I'd add Israel, particularly to those two countries, not that they don't attack other places, and obviously they do. Those aren't a problem either. No, only climate change and white supremacy. Folks, these people need to be in a rubber room. I'm serious. They really do. There's something wrong with these people. That they can have this kind of delusional thinking and point the finger at others and say, you're crazy because you don't agree with me. Well, folks, you know, it's a little bit exasperating, you know? It really is. Okay. Let's go to the lines. We've got Mac from Georgia on climate change. Welcome, Mac. Mac, are you there? Okay. We'll try to come back to Mac. What about Clifton from Virginia? Clifton, are you there? Okay, are we having a line problem? Okay, well, let's see what we can, let's see if anybody pops up, and otherwise I will continue to talk, and you all please don't give up on us. I don't know whether they might have to hang up and call back or something, but what about Larry of Kansas? Larry, are you there? Okay, so we must be having a problem with our line. All right, but folks, this is the stuff that we get coming from those who would purport to be political leaders. I mean, how does that, you know, it just doesn't compute. Because the fact of the matter is, at this point, in my view, in my humble opinion, the greatest existential threat to the future of America is the internal decay that we are experiencing. I think it's greater than China. I think it's greater than Russia. Not that those things, not that those entities don't pose a threat to our country. I believe that they do. But I believe the greatest existential threat to our country is the internal degeneracy and decay that is being led by the left, that is trying to insinuate into our culture and body politic moral and cultural relativism. There is no right. There is no wrong. Everybody do your own thing. And then when people do something crazy, they say, well, how could they do that? That's wrong. Well, you've been telling people for the last generation that there is no right or wrong. That's what we've been hearing. There is no right or wrong. Oh, no, no, that's there's no truth. There's your truth and there's my truth. And your truth may be different than my truth. Your truth may contradict my truth, but that's okay, because truth is just a matter of personal preference, not a matter of absolute right and wrong. And then when somebody goes out and says, oh, well, if then there's no absolute truth, then my truth is, and my right is, and my morality is, I want to kill you. How's that? You know, part of the problem is, think about this, folks. When somebody says, well, there is no absolute truth, then you know what you should say to them? So then what you just said to me is not true, right? And if what you just said to me is also not true and you're saying there is no absolute truth, that means we can't really communicate because what we are incapable of speaking reality. I mean, so it's stupid. It folds in on itself and self-destructs. But think about this, folks. If there is no absolute truth, right? If there is no absolute right or wrong, and which is what the left is trying to convince everybody of, then why was Hitler wrong? Why was Stalin wrong? Why was Mao wrong? Well, a lot of people think he wasn't, frankly. Who was it who just uttered some Democrat politician uttered some praise of Mao Zedong and then had to walk it back? But that's in their heart. That's what they really believe. They really believe that these totalitarian leaders who have killed millions of people are really great because they did it for the good of the people. See, that's moral and cultural relativism. That's where it takes you. It takes you to a point where it's possible to justify anything. Because nothing is immoral as long as it leads to a greater good, right? Randy, can we try the lines again? Or okay, all right. Then let's see if we can get Mac then. Mac from Georgia, you there?
Hello, how you
all
doing?
Right. Hey, Mac.
Hey, good to speak with you again. I believe everything you say, sir.
Well, thank you, brother.
I'd like to state about this climate change right quick. Day before yesterday, in my hometown, you know what the weather was? Was 100 degrees. And in 1942, it was 100 degrees. Now, if this was 100, and that was 67 years ago, if I, my best I can recollect.
Mm-hmm.
1942 and 2019, September the 8th, it was 100 degrees both days. So if it was climate change back then, we still going.
Right.
Now, why can't we run on with another 60 or 70 years of climate change?
So
I'll leave it with you.
Mac,
I'm going to leave that with you, brother.
Right.
Thank you.
All right, Mac. Yeah, I mean, listen, thank you. The point makes itself, doesn't it? I mean, these people just don't have a clue. Look, first of all, folks, I have a biblical worldview, and therefore I believe that God made the earth capable of self-preservation and correction and cleansing, and that God didn't make the earth without any understanding that human beings would one day make machines and use fossil fuels. I think he did that with that fully in mind. We're going to be fine on planet Earth. The question is, are we going to be fine when it comes to time to decide whether we're going to get to heaven? Back in a moment.
First of all, he wants to be glorified in how we use the money. He talks a lot about stewardship, the ability to manage money. And there's even a scripture that talks about to whom much is given, much is required.
Oftentimes, our thoughts on money differ from God's, as Deborah Pagay explains on Focus on the Family Minute.
But when I think of money, because it was such an issue in our family growing up, I think of what money represents. It represents power. It has trust issues involved. It has conveniences and comforts. And so that's why even in a marriage, you'll find that money is the number one reason. And I read this several times. Money is the number one cause of marital conflict. And it's not because they don't have enough.
Huh.
It's because they haven't agreed on the priorities. So when you step back and look at money, again, it's just a tool. It's a tool. And we have to see it as that and not put our faith in money. but we have to use it in a way that God knows He can trust us with the money.
Honor God with your money. More from Deborah at FamilyMinute.org.
AFR's own J.J. Jasper is a morning on-air personality, author, comedian, Christian, and family man. J.J.'s also a keynote speaker at banquets, men's ministry events, pregnancy center fundraisers, and more. Here's what others are saying.
This is Amy Wishman at Life Choice Ministries in Manhattan, Kansas. Several board members and donors told me that this banquet was our best banquet ever. Thanks to J.J. Jasper.
Information on J.J.'s availability to speak at your event is at jjjasper.com. It was a bad move. Target invited men who say they feel like women into restrooms and changing areas designated for women. They probably guessed other retailers would follow their lead, but they were wrong. Others saw that bandwagon was headed in the wrong direction. We're not ready to sacrifice the safety of women and children for the sake of progressive bathroom policies. Invite Target to make a better move. Sign the Boycott Target Pledge at afa.net.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
You know, I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, I don't want to change the subject. The number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. I don't want to change the subject. We've been talking about 9/11, but there's a broader topic here, which is what I call this moral psychosis, this willingness to overlook what is there in order to come up with some cockamamie, weirdo, bizarre interpretation of life and events. Here's another one. So I don't want to change the subject to abortion, but Christine Quinn on a CNN interview, she's a CNN contributor, said on one of their programs, and I'm quoting, "When a woman gets pregnant, that's not a human being inside of her." That's exactly what she said, folks. When a woman gets pregnant, that's not a human being inside of her. That, to me, is moral psychosis, because you can't see what is there, but you see what's not. So let's go right back to the lines, because I think Clifton may want to comment on this issue of moral psychosis. Clifton from Virginia, are you there? Clifton?
Yes, sir.
Hey, hi. How are you, Clifton?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
I just like to say how much respect that I have for you. I wish that the African-American community in the United States would take people like you, Herman Cain, Alan West as their spokesman, and quit gravitating to Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, who I have never heard say one word in all their speeches from the Word of God, who never try to bring people together. You base your views on biblical, just like you said, you got a biblical worldview. The reason I know I am not racist, I did not support Barack Obama, but I could vote for you three for president and be happy and thank God about it.
Well, Clifton, that's very kind of you. And listen, I agree with you. I won't necessarily include myself, but I certainly do wish that they would, that the black community would adopt a different set of leaders than the ones who have exploited and used and manipulated them for so many years and accomplished absolutely nothing but their self-enrichment. That's about the only thing they've gotten done. Jesse and Al have done very, very well, but nobody they claim to support has. Okay, thank you so much, Clifton. Let's go to Sherry in North Carolina. Sherry, welcome. Sherry, are you there?
Yes, Bishop. Bishop, you make so much sense. My head is about to explode. You and I must be of the same age. I 100% agree with you. We need to rethink our Middle Eastern policies. And one other comment, you make so much sense, I want to talk about it all. But the delusion that you spoke about, sir, I honestly am beginning to believe that the great delusion that God said he would send to people before Christ's return, I'm actually beginning to believe that he has descended upon this nation. And hang in there.
Yeah.
And like that guy said before, if you would run for president, I'd darn sure vote for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. And, you know, Sherry makes a good point. I've thought about that myself. The Bible talks about God allowing great delusion to come upon people. And that seems to have already happened. I do think it will continue to get worse. And people always say to me, well, if you can't do anything to save America. God has already said which way things are going. I'm not looking to change the way things are going generally or to try to subvert or alter what God has told us. What I'm interested in doing is trying to make sure that my country, the country that I love, is on the Lord's side. That's what I'm about. I know I can't change the direction that the world's going to go in, but I want to change the direction that America is going in. And as long as there's breath in my body, I will never give up on that. Okay, let's go to Larry in Kansas. Larry, welcome. Larry, are you there?
I am here, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I just wanted to say glory to God for you and for your program. And the other thing is we share a wedding anniversary. Tomorrow, my wife and I have been married 37 years. All praise to God.
Amen, Larry. Well, we've got you by about 12. Believe it or not, 49.
I'm also a military veteran. I was in Vietnam for a year and a half. So
is that right? Thank you for your service, Larry. Yeah. Thank you for your service.
God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Wow, man. And I know, folks, believe me, I marvel how my wife has put up with me for 49 years, but praise God she has. So we're looking forward to celebrating our anniversary over the next couple of days. All right, let's go to Chris in Indiana. Chris, welcome.
Yes, Bishop Jackson, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that as an Air Force veteran, the greatest existential threat to the United States when I served was communism and the threat of nuclear war. And now I think what has happened, and I think we have to take a step further back and look. The reason why these guys aren't talking about the real problems in this country is because they want to deceive us. They want to look what they've done with our education system, how they've gotten all these young people on board about climate change. If you talk to them, it's amazing that they have no science, but yet they still believe what these people tell them. And the reason why I think this is because they know that they, policy-wise, they can't take us down with our Bill of Rights and our Constitution from within unless they have a cause that they have to, you know, push upon us and say, look, we're going to have to close your power down tonight because we're going to save the planet. Well, guess what? That's going to be anarchy, and then the United States is no longer what we used to be. And that's going to happen from within. And I hate to say that, but that's why they don't want to speak the truth, because they're a part of the problem.
Well, Chris, you're echoing what I said. I think that our greatest threat is the rot from within, not attacks from without. Because attacks from without only become that much more viable if we rot from the inside. And you're right. I think, frankly, I don't think communism has run its course in this country. I think it's having a resurgence. Only people are not calling themselves communists. But again, folks, you look at the Communist Party USA's blueprint for America, and you will find it indistinguishable from the Democrat Party platform. I'm very serious about that. There's not a dime's worth of difference between the two. You could argue that the Democrat Party has wholly adopted Karl Marx's philosophy. Now, that's a sad commentary, And I'm not trying to overstate the case. You check it out for yourself, the Communist Party USA, and you compare that to what Democrats believe and think. And folks, I'm serious, you won't find a dime worth the difference. Okay, let's go to David. David in Virginia. Welcome, David.
Hi, okay. Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and it's being taught in the schools as well. And so I wanted to say that for every Christian home, every Christian dad, every Christian mom, we need to do what Noah did. Bible says in Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, just like you and I have been warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. We need to save our house. We need to let the Lord build our house, like Psalm 127:1 says. And then we need to make sure that all of them are in the ark. And then we need to then share the gospel with everyone we meet. We're keeping it to ourselves, and the whole world's going away, and we're not sharing the gospel. We need to share witness to everyone we meet. Tell them. And if I can say just one thing real quick, and that's it. I'm done. Forgive me. Every time I meet someone, I try to, as many times as I can, say, hey, I'd like to tell you something Jesus said. And then I tell them something. He said, whosoever saves his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What does that mean? I ask them. And then they try to answer. That gives me the opportunity to share the gospel. And then I explain what that meant at the end. But
well, David,
we can share the gospel with as many people as we can.
I couldn't agree with you more, David. And I do the same thing. I teach my church to do the same thing. Because, look, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Did I skip Kevin? If I did, is Kevin still there? Kevin, you there?
Kevin, yes, online. I am.
Oh, there you go, Kevin. Sorry, I think I might have skipped you, but welcome, Kevin. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I got a buzz in my ear, and then you came on. So there's a coal seam in Kentucky that's been burning for 7 years. There's another coal seam up in Pennsylvania that burned out under a town, and the town imploded in it. And they want to keep the coal in the ground and not burn it because it pollutes. It's going to burn anyway. And we've got oil seeping out of the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. So why don't we tap into those reserves and pump it out and use it a lot better than just letting it poison the Gulf of Mexico? They had that blowout well down there few years back, and they were so terrible that it was polluting the water. That oil's coming up anyway.
That coal changed the standard of living for people around the world. It certainly did it for us in the United States. And these idiots running around talking about we got to get rid of airplanes and get rid of SUVs and stop using coal and stop using oil and stop. It is a kind of moral, that might even be mental delusion. These people have lost touch with reality. Well, I wish I could get to everybody, but thank you all for calling. Of course, I'm looking forward to talking to you again soon, right after my anniversary, okay? So you all pray for me and my wife to have a great time. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.